Infowars.com/show.
Back, folks. Final segment of the War Room for today's broadcast. We'll probably move on from Iran here in just a second. I do want to play at least one more video and, again, explain sort of my position in all of this, which is the same as the InfoWars position was all the way back in 2001, 2003. So these wars are not for us. They are against us, even though we're the ones waging them. The ultimate outcome is we are impoverished, we are destroyed overseas, we take in all of the migrants, we suffer. The so-called empire expands, but the way empire is supposed to work is you're supposed to go out and conquer or subjugate other peoples, and then you ingest that wealth into the empire, and it benefits the people of the empire. That never seems to be the case, though. We're the ones standing holding the bag while the elite, and in this case Israel, make off like bandits. They don't have to put in the investment. They do get the dividends. We put in the investment. We're hung out to dry. It's very frustrating. Very obvious to anybody paying attention. And I actually want to go to a clip of Tim Dillon saying exactly this. We'll do that in just a second. Just to finish off with the story about the rescued pilot, which I'm very suspicious of. There are a lot of reasons people have to say that this may have been something other than what we are told it was, even though the process that took place was exactly what we predicted, right? You're going to have these flyovers of Iran mistakenly believing that you have air superiority, something's going to get shot down, you got to go in and rescue the guy. What if the rescuers get shot down? I mean, that kind of seems like more or less what happened, but somehow we escaped anyway. But there are some inconsistencies. We say we destroyed our C-130s so that they don't fall into Iran's hands. Iran says they destroyed them, and then publish images that appear to show human skulls in the wreckage. As I've said before, the official, you know, images that have come out showing the wreckage of the at least one of these C-130s, it appears as though they crashed because the propellers are bent, which means that the propellers were spinning when they hit the ground. You don't keep the engine on the aircraft that you're trying to destroy, right? And it doesn't even make sense in the first place. You only get those bent propellers in the way they were when the propeller is spinning and it hits the ground, and it hits the ground while spinning and twists and bends the propellers that way. So again, there's a lot of, like, sort of on the face of it, evidence from confirmed photos that show that, okay, not everything Trump said is probably totally aligned with truth. But there may be some wiggle room there. There may be some, you know, reasons why they'd want to say maybe it was overall true, but, you know, the details were fudged a little for national security reasons. I can understand that. But then you've got other things, like the fact that, according to Iran, and again, I'm just telling you what they're reporting, just like I'll tell you what America is saying. Doesn't mean I believe it. It's another confusing. People get confused by this. Yeah, that is supposedly the picture of the human skull there. Now, we were told nobody was even injured. Kind of hard to believe with the wreckage as you see it. So I don't believe what anybody says about this conflict, not at first blush. It has to actually align with what I know to be true, or what I do have a genuine foundation for believing. Again, I guess that level of nuance escapes people. It's impossible for people to understand how you could say, hey, look, Iran saying this, Trump saying this, we should take both of these into account and try to find out what the truth is. Like, they just want you to believe what Trump is saying 100% of the time, even if they themselves will later admit that it wasn't true at all. And we've been through this before. We're right then, we're right now. So, sorry to tell you that. Now, again, the speculation that I'm not saying is absolutely valid. So, supposedly, Iran found a passport, essentially. Which, again, it's like, okay, very 9/11-esque. You found the passports of the hijackers in the rubble of the building. Very convenient. In this case, it wasn't a passport in particular. It was like a visa. And it allegedly belonged to an Israeli military defense contractor, which is a little odd. So they posted this image of the visa card showing the passport number of this woman named Moran Sagron, who appears to be an Israeli person. And she's in the Israel Institute of Technology. And while she's not necessarily a nuclear scientist, she would be a mechanical engineer that worked almost exclusively with radiation. According to the statement released by the Cyber Support Front, Maya is responsible for research and development in support of major Israeli defense contractors, including Elbit Systems and Rafael, which acts as the technical and industrial arms of the Zionist regime's defense ministry. The pro-resistance hacktivist group behind the operation said that during the course of the cyber attack, it also identified network data from several other defense ministry-linked firms that operate under the guise of civilian industries. The spokesperson for the Cyber Support Front also revealed that the attackers gained access to documents and designs showing the Zionist regime's plans to develop and manufacture new military equipment. And again, all of this is related to this image that was put out claiming to be a document found in or around the wreckage. And it's a visa to the United States of America for a woman named Moran Sagron, an Israeli mechanical engineer. So if she was really there, or if this document was really found there, that would suggest that maybe this was something other than a rescue mission, because why else would you need a mechanical engineer with radiation expertise if that's all you're doing? Again, the location of this near Isfahan, again, hints that maybe this wasn't a strict rescue mission and a rescue mission alone. The number of people, vehicles, aircraft that were deployed to carry this out, again, maybe a little suspicious, as people are pointing out. Which, again, you know, I can make the argument and I can sort of defeat the argument at the same time, right? That if you're doing a rescue mission, maybe it would be the best thing. Just like a fast-flying, low-flying helicopter, get in, scoop them up, get out. You're saving one person. What more could you need? It's kind of true. At the same time, if you do that and the helicopter gets taken out, now you've got the helicopter and the people in the helicopter and the pilot now missing. What do? Send another helicopter? They get taken out? Maybe you go in with overwhelming force, knowing that a single helicopter would come under fire. Maybe you need some defense there, you know, to get you across. Again, this is all speculation because the story that we've actually heard, yeah, maybe it's true. But the Iran sell a different story seems a little bit almost more believable in some ways. And they have a history of telling the truth about this conflict, where the Trump administration has a history of lying about this conflict. And that's important and a reasonable thing to add to your interpretation of events. Because we're human beings and we operate on pattern recognition. And when one group of people lies to you over and over and over again, it's not some sign of bias that you value their contribution a little bit less than the people that have been saying things that are verifiable, as I've seen personally. But hey, say whatever you want. Now, meanwhile, from the Clash report, they have satellite photos showing about 28 craters blasted into roads in Iran's Isfahan province, where the downed U.S. airman was rescued. The craters, each about 9 meters wide, appear to place a line to deliberately cut off road access. Now, SimoSad on X, who's a good follow, says, "This settles it for me. This is the exact same attack pattern used by Israel to insert forces into Masyaf underground weapon facility in Syria. They tried to repeat it in Iran and got absolutely annihilated. This is the greatest defeat the U.S. has faced in all of its history." Again, all speculation, but what he's pointing out was, if this is true from the Clash report about the satellite photos showing the sort of very distinct pattern of bombing in the road, and if that bombing pattern directly corresponds to and matches the bombing pattern that Israel used when they were infiltrating another weapon, you know, top secret location in Syria, again, I would think that maybe that would mean something. Man, it's a little piece of evidence that this may have been more than initially let on. And again, we say that because we were guessing that was going to be the case last Friday anyway. Now, just like I received a lot of, and there's other stuff as well, but I don't know how valuable it is. I will show you clip 33 here, because last week we showed you videos of the Iranian tribesmen actually using their rifles to fire at American helicopters. Well, the guys in that video, the guys who actually shot and possibly brought down Black Hawk helicopters going to Iran, went on Iranian TV to tell the story about what it was like And this is just absolutely fascinating and a very interesting, you know, corollary. Could you imagine if America was coming under attack like this from a more powerful foe and seeing a good old boy redneck, you know, taking down Russian helicopters and going on TV? It's pretty interesting stuff. Let's go to clip 33 now. I'll read along. He says, American planes and helicopters came into our land and the governor gave us the green light to fire. And these fighter jets make weird sounds whenever they come to hit Tehran or Isfahan or whatever. There's this sound. We see them sometimes. Sometimes we don't see them. We hear the sound really close. We came outside and we saw two helicopters coming out from that village. The jets came in really low, even lower than the helicopters. They were banking up like this, going up. He says, I loaded my gun. One of them was up higher than the jets. When they came a bit lower, I fired two shots at it, and I saw one of them coming really low. I did nothing until the next one. Then we fired toward the window, right where you can see the pilot. I shot twice at the cockpit and twice at the cargo so it would blow up. I fired four shots at the other one, too. Did they see you? They ask. I actually told my family to stay inside, to get some distance from the house so that if they targeted me, I would get hit, but they wouldn't shoot at the kids. I swear I told the kids not to come. After I fired a few shots, I heard her yelling, Dad, shoot. She was shouting, shoot, Dad, it didn't come down, shoot more. They asked the little girl, you were saying shoot it down, why? And she says, for the little martyr girls of Minab, for our dear leader, to destroy the enemies, America and Israel. Have you watched the news recently? Yes. And why do you think they are the enemies and should be shot at? Because they're child killers, she says. So again, you know, strap me down to a lie detector test, put a gun to my head, ask me whose side I'm on. I'm on the side of the American pilot, obviously, right? He's American, like me. Maybe it's somebody I know. Hell, we don't know who it was. If they lived or died, I mean, we're not being told that information. But obviously, I'm going to have more in common with and, you know, be brothers with somebody who's American over there in American uniform, ostensibly fighting for us. But I think they've been betrayed. And I think our enemies sent them to die in Iran. And I feel and I empathize for the farmer out there that feels that his country is under attack, because it is, to his little daughter who says she wants revenge for the little girls killed in the school, because I bet she does. I don't think they're lying. I think they're being completely honest. And I think it's troublesome that we are now in the position where we are basically making heroes of the people of Iran that are fighting against us. It's totally our fault. This shouldn't be the case. And when you hear those people talk, does it sound like they want Iran bombed to hell? Does it sound like they're desperate to be freed from their supreme leader? Or does it sound like they're very much on the side of their government, and increasingly so as America continues to abuse, harass, and kill them? So you have to take this into account. And Trump said in the video we played earlier today, they're animals. These people are animals. They don't basically deserve consideration. That's the type of mindset that ends a country. If you're actually acting like these people are animals, can't be reasoned with, can't be predicted, then you're really worse than animals. Now, you're like a demon or something. I don't know what to tell you, because these are human beings and you have to treat them like human beings. If you want anything that you do to succeed, this should be obvious, but apparently it's not. I'll go to clip four here in just a second. That's Tim Dillon being very astute and funny about this, but I thought this was an interesting post from Gen X Girl 1994 on X. She says, this is the best response I've seen to Zionist Sean McGuire's post. Sean McGuire asks, how did we get to the point where so many Americans are rooting against America? Which, again, it's like, let me just read the response. But this is just what I was just saying. Like, I am on the side of that pilot. I'm on the side of the helicopter pilot being fired at. I'm not on the side of the Iranian goat herder, right? Are you kidding me? That being said, I don't think that American should have ever been there. And I hate the people that sent him there, not the people that were defending themselves against foreign encroachment. Because I would defend myself against foreign encroachment. And I would honor any Texas cowboy who went out and started shooting at foreign helicopters that were trying to bomb Houston, right? It's like, of course, they're human beings. Because that's the way that I would act, and I don't bemoan them reacting in the same way. I recognize that it's the situation that's evil. So Nick Szabo on X responds to this idea that Americans are rooting against America because they don't hate Iran and want it terrorized. He says, the opponents of this war are rooting for Americans. The war's fanatical Zionist perpetrators are destroying America, severely degrading our weapons stockpiles, expending money we don't have, wrecking our alliances, killing increasing numbers of our soldiers, raising prices, killing jobs. This war is damaging our country, both abroad and here at home, because the Zionist fanatics who started this war and are continuing this war love Israel and hate their fellow Americans. They care less about the damage they're doing to the U.S. as long as they can stay protected. As long as they can protect the only country they're loyal to, Israel. Zionists are at every level of their treacherous souls rooting against America and indeed succeeding in damaging America for the sake of a foreign country that they love. So I don't know what their motivation is. Seems like a valid one to me. I again just ask you, who is the more likely to approve of something that damages America? Somebody who is fully American to their great, 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 great grandfather, or somebody who literally waves an Israeli flag around? I'm just, if you can't ascertain who's got the ulterior motive here, then you're the reason everything sucks. Then you're the reason, I hate to say it, that everything is being destroyed, because you have to have better discernment than that. Okay, let's go to Tim Dillon talking about this, about the betrayal that Trump supporters are feeling these days, the sheer disrespect that Trump is expressing to his beloved voters. Let's watch.
This is the greatest con in history. To run as an America first, and you're going to take care of America, and then turn around and go, you know, all of these things, daycare, Medicare, Medicaid, we have nothing to do with that. We're fighting wars. That's what we're here to do. We're here to have a defense budget of $1.5 trillion, and we're here to fight wars. It is the greatest scam in history. You got to hand it to him. And I mean, truly, and not in, you know, again, not in like a, not in a moral way, but like, you got to hand it to him. This is the greatest about face in political history that I have really ever seen. It is the greatest scam. It has taken in people. I believe J.D. Vance, when he came on my show and said, we want to stay out of Middle Eastern wars, Donald Trump's first term did not have real, I mean, he killed Qasem Soleimani, I'm mispronouncing that, whatever, but he was not running all over the world and doing this. There's a lot of things about Trump's first term to criticize, but he was not doing this. So this is surprising to a lot of people. And by the way, it's surprising to me. And it's, there's a lot of people, and I know no one, everyone's going to act like they're not surprised. I knew he was going to invade Iran. Nick Fuentes did. He's like the only one that did. So that kid is the only one who really called that this guy was going to go into Iran. If you had said to me, is this guy going to launch a preemptive war in Iran? I would have said no. I remember being on the phone with Barry Weiss the day he won. I was in Miami and I was on the beach, and I called her and we chatted briefly, and it was just a very nice conversation. I said, what's this guy going to do? And she said, I think he's going to get rid of the DEI shit, which we all thought was stupid. And, you know, he's going to get rid of the DEI stuff, and he's going to, like, you know, like, restore sanity to a lot of, like, Biden-era DEI, like, that is totally, like, you know, was pushing everyone in this country to the political extremes. And he was going to get the economy going, and he was going to try to tackle inflation to some degree, and he was going to – this was the thought. And I mean, now, Barry might have known that there was another plan. She didn't share it with me. She might have known. And I was sitting there in Miami on the phone going, well, yeah, if he does that stuff, great. I said to her, I said, what do you think about gay marriage or this or that? She goes, no, I don't think he's going to roll back a lot of that stuff. I think he's going to go after the economy. He's going to go after the DEI stuff. He's probably going to pull a lot of the money out of Ukraine and cut some deal. And she said, you know, he supports Israel. He's going to support Israel. And I said, okay, at that point I was, that was kind of expected. And I said to her, I was like, you think he's going to get a deal done in the Middle East? And she goes, yeah, because that's what he campaigned on. We get a deal done in the Middle East. But I did not think truly that somehow he was going to launch a preemptive war in Iran. And then I didn't think we would be kind of losing it. By the way, drag me all you want, for not being omniscient or not being clairvoyant. I had no idea. I had no clue that Iran was going to be able to blow military bases off the earth and we weren't going to defend them. I didn't know that our Gulf allies were going to get attacked and we weren't really going to be able to do that much about it. I had no idea that this was going to go this poor. Even his detractors were like, well, the economy's pretty good. We're not in wars. He governed kind of like a 90s liberal his first term. He did the Muslim ban. It was sloppy. It was reversed immediately. There was demagoguery of issues, but he wasn't like this psychopath that people had feared where it was like, we're going to be in a world war. This term is making up for that. This term, he's really like feeling himself. It's like, somebody goes away in school and they get hot over the summer and then they come in, they got a whole new attitude. And you're like, what happened to my friend? And now they're like, now I'm treating you like shit. I got hot. Somebody leaves, your little chubby friend leaves school, they come back and get hot and they don't want to sit with you anymore and they don't give a fuck about you. In fact, they want to invade Iran.
There's Tim Dillon expressing, I think a lot of us feel. I think a lot of us feel this way. This new IRGC cruise missiles have struck the Jubal petrochemical complex in Saudi Arabia, triggering massive fires and explosions. The Islamic Republic has already warned major infrastructure, including Jubal, would be targeted. All right. So again, I mean, where do we think this goes? I mean, is there anybody now even making the argument, as absurd as it would be, that this is in any way beneficial to us, that this ends in any preferable situation than the world existed in before we entered into this war? As far as I can tell right now, it's simply a matter of trying to minimize the negative damage, but we're in a trap. We're in a Chinese finger trap here because they want to stay in to make this worth it, to make all of everything that's happened seem like it was in pursuit of a higher achievable goal. But the longer we stay in, the worse everything gets. There's already dramatic and existential fuel crises in places like Australia. And you've got farmers not sure if they're going to have the fuel or the fertilizer to plant the food or the fuel to harvest it in 6 months. And because we've listened to the climate change agenda for the last several decades, they don't even have the infrastructure to get the fuel even if they wanted to. It's all been deliberately shut down because all of this is in pursuit of the same goal, the massive depopulation of the planet and the installation of a global government seat in Israel that will rule the rest of the world by force. It's Iran today. It's all of us tomorrow. And that's why we have to fight against this with everything we've got. We will continue to do that. I hope that you continue to support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You're getting a free gift in all orders today. And there's new 1776 limited edition InfoWars t-shirts and hats. The new collection is out now and on sale. And it may be your last time to purchase InfoWars materiel. So go purchase it now. Save it away. Sell it on eBay for 50 years for a giant profit. Or wear it around your town and red pill new people. Whatever you do with it, we thank you for supporting us. And we have pledged ourselves in this life or death mission to rescue the planet from the insane warmongers that are trying to drive us towards the apocalypse and total hell. And all we ask these is that you support us in this mission by supplying us the money we need to wage this war at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself a fantastic product. Support us. Save the world. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss, gummies, and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylene.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.